Blog Talk Radio. Have tuned into Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so excited that you have joined me on today. Truly, today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad therein. I'm so excited that you're with me today. Why don't you just come right on in and make yourself right at home? Grab your Bible. We have another glorious time in the Lord on today. I don't know about you, but I'm expecting God to do something awesome in and among his people, even on today. I wake up with an expectancy from God. Today, our lesson is going to be on how great is our God. We're going to be looking at Psalm 66. Verses number 1 through verse number 15. Again, that's Psalm 66, verses number 1 through number 15. And our focused thought is going to be centered around the greatness of God, how it is, inspires a song of praise, and that he is worthy of our worship. And so that's what we're going to be looking at on today, and I know without a shadow of a doubt that you are going to be blessed. Now, before we move into our lesson, I heard the Holy Spirit just say to talk about that shadow. Sometimes it's the shadow of doubt that prevents us from moving totally and completely into the will of God and what God has for us as children of God. And so sometimes we need to stop when we find ourselves doubting and deal with the shadow of doubt, that thing that's kind of overcasting your thought, overcasting your will, overcasting your desire to do all that God has for you, or to believe that God will actually bring it to pass on your behalf, or even to believe in his promise. And so sometimes we need to stop and deal with the shadows, the shadow of doubt that overshadow our ability and capacity and ability to comprehend and to receive all that God has for us. And until we deal with the shadows that are there in our lives and that keeping and preventing us to totally and completely believe. Sometimes our defeats, sometimes our battles comes to overthrow that ability to completely, in totality, and confident and competent to believe God. And it comes through prayer and trusting God, dealing with those things that sometimes comes into our life that overshadow us to keep us from believing God. It could have been somebody else's experience. It could be a preconceived notion in our mind that is always this way. But we need to deal with those doubts in our minds, in hearts and spirit until we totally have complete the victory over them. So that's very key, and God wanted you to hear that today. That's not a part of our lesson, but that's a rhema word for you on today. Yes, you, I'm talking to you, a child of God. God wants you to deal with the shadows of doubt that's preventing you from you stepping into the fullness, the fullness. It could have been your training. It could have been your experience as a little girl or a little boy growing up or a child as growing up. You must sometimes deal with those shadows and things that sometimes lurk. Why are you believing that way? Why are you doing that? and things that keeping and preventing you from receiving all that God has. And once we face and deal with our regrets and deal with our fears, then we can move forward in things and things that God would want us to do. And so I come today to tell and talk with your heart, and I believe God is going to bless you because that was a release to somebody's spirit even on today. God wants to do it. Don't let timing and things overthrow you to think that God's not going to do it. We just got to trust and believe God. And while we're doing that, this is where we're going to learn how to praise God in the midst of it. It said, make a joyful lesson. So we're going to draw our attention right to the scripture right now. And that's over in Psalms 66, verses 1 through verse number 15. And let's take a look at that. It said, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praises glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. So the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee, and they shall sing to thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing towards the children of men. He turns the sea into dry land. They went through the flood, not flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nation. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou layest affliction upon our lion. Thou hast caused men to ride over our head. We went through the fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. I will go into thy house with burnt offering. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken. When I was in trouble, I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifice of fatling, and with the incense of ram, I will offer bullocks with goats. Selah. Now, let's take a look at verse number 16. That's Psalm 66. And now we're going to look at verse 16. Come and hear all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. And so we must start declaring and praising God as never before. Now, let's take a look at our lesson on today. We're going to be looking at sing God praises, come and see the works of God, I will worship God, come and hear. And so we're going to look at all of these particular aspects on our lesson today. Psalms 66, 1 and 2 said, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye land. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Some have observed that Psalm 66 is two psalms, or psalms, a song in one. Verses 1 through 12 were a national song of deliverance with three stanzas. Verses number 13 down to verse number 19 comprise a personal song by the psalmist. Verse 20 served as a response to the previous verse, possibly to be spoken by a congregation in unison. The author of Psalm 66 is not known. While David wrote many of the psalms, he did not compose all of them. The book of Psalms was the Hebrew song and praise manual, and God used many people to add to his pages. Praise and worship is not just for the few. It is for the many. Worship and praise is not just for the king, leaders, and pastors of the people. We are all called to worship and praise Jesus Christ. The construction of Psalm 66 suggests that praise and worship is not just for the nation alone. it proceeds for the leaders to the nation and then to the people. Corporate praise and worship is good, but it's not good enough. It must move from the Holy Spirit to the worship leader, to the church corporately, and on the hearts of the individual. We must grow in God to a mature state, which we can praise and worship God in the absence of a crowd, in the absence of song, in the absence of music, and even in the absence of being in the sanctuary. That's how God wants us to mature, that wherever we're at, we can have a song of praise down in our heart, because it's the song of praise that will sustain and keep the child of God. And nobody can take a song out of your heart. Nobody can take a praise down out of your heart, mind, or spirit. And God has fixed it so that we will be individual tabernacles going around with the presence of God residing with us and in us and through us, through vehicle of praise and worship down in our hearts and mind. They may put you out the sanctuary, or they may even, the landlord may increase the rent where the people of God can't get back there, or whatever the case may be. But nobody can evict the praise out of our hearts or out of our mind. Only is when we stop praising, and only when we decide that we no longer praise and worship God. But nobody can stop a praise out of the bosom and the heart of an individual. However, we never reach the place where we no longer need to participate in corporate worship. We are not to forsake the assembling of the church together for times of worship and fellowship. Hebrews 10 and 25 let us know that. Still, we need a personal song of praise and worship for our Lord Jesus Christ, who has done so much for us. We also should explore the difference between praise and worship. We need to be thankful to God and express our gratitude in praise and worship, but being thankful only is inadequate. Praise alone is insufficient. God's desire to receive the full dimension of our worship, which can only follow thanksgiving and praise. Thanksgiving involves vocalizing our appreciation for God, what God has done for us. And when we verbalize our praise and thanksgiving unto God, that's when we're releasing life out of our life, out of our body, and things, because we open our mouth and vocally proclaim God's goodness in our life. Praise entails life, lifting up our hands and hearts to God for what God has done and is doing and will do. Now, worship, on the other hand, involves humbling, bowing down before the Lord and acknowledging his sole and complete lordship. Worship is much more than an outward position of the body. Worship is an attitude of the heart, as it is acknowledging the Lord of heaven and earth. And so, see, you can see the contrast between praises. We're praising God for what he's doing and have done and what he will do. But worship is another dimension where we are actually praising and worshiping God solely and completely for his lordship and who he is, and not what he's done, but just who he is alone. When a person gives thanks to another, there is a starting and ending point. Quite often, when the list of blessing is ended, then the thanksgiving and thanksing thing is also ended as well. Praise also have a distinct starting point and completion. When our hands become tired, we lower them. When our voices become tired, we become quiet. When our bodies get tired, we sit down. While that may signal the conclusion of praise, true worship of God continues. when we become a true worshiper, our worship never ends. God is the object of our adoration, for he is worthy. Our heart continually bows to him and obey him and adore him. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. True worship never ends because God never changes. Moreover, true worship is based on who God is and not solely on what God does. And that's where we can sustain the worship and can sustain the praise, because we are worshiping God just on who he is. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And he will never, ever, ever change. Situations will change. Circumstances will change. Time will change. But God will always remain the same. Come on and just shout hallelujah. Now let's look at our first point. Sing praise God's praises. Sing God praises. And we're going to look at Psalms 66, 1 through 4. And we're going to read it out of the Amplified Bible. Make a joyful noise unto God, all the earth. Sing forth the honor and the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome and fearfully glorious are your works. Through the greatness of your power shall your enemies submit themselves to you with fain and reluctant obedience. All the earth shall bow down to you with praise and sing to you. They shall praise your name in song, Selah. Now let's look. Verse 1 of Psalm 66 gives us the first of the nine commands found in that psalm. God's commands are not optional. He expects us to obey them. Number 1, make a joyful noise unto God. Number 2, sing forth the honor of his name. Number 3, make his praise glorious. Number 3, say unto God, how terrible are you in your works. Number 5, come and see the work of God. Number 6, let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Number 7, bless our God. Number 8, make the voice of his praise to be heard. And number 9, come and hear. These are all of the nine commandments that we find in Psalm 66 when it talks about praising God. There is an order and there is a way that God has already constructed and want us as people of God to come and praise him. And once we begin to move into these nine folds, then God, we will see God reign greatly in and through our midst. Now, let's look here. It says, sing unto God his praise and honor. We are to praise and reverence the name of Jesus. His name is glorious and worthy of all praise. Only through his name is there forgiveness of sin. Only through his name is there power to be realized in prayer. The name of Jesus is higher than any other. He alone is Lord of heaven and earth. Moreover, we are both to praise him and to make his praises glorious. The Hebrew words translated glorious have to do with an abundance and having much weight. In other words, we are to abundantly praise the name of Jesus. We are to praise him in such a way that if it could be weighed, it will possess much weight. It is worthy of weighty praise and worship. When we sing, we need to sing with praise. It would be good for us to forget. We know the words and remember we are filled with the presence of God and his blessing. We should never lower our singing to the point of only going through the motion of praise. Our singing should truly escort us into the presence of the King of Kings. And let's look. Speak of God's power and his greatness. Now, after we have weighty praise, where there's substance in that praise. There's weight in that praise, that God can come and sit down upon that praise. Now he goes on to say, speak of the power and of God's power and greatness. And we find that when we have it through testimony service. It said, to whom does the psalmist say we are to speak of God's power and greatness? Interestingly, the psalmist indicated that we are to speak these things to the Lord. This serves not at least two purposes. First, we acknowledge his power and greatness, both in gratitude and in true praise and worship. Second, it exalts God's act of love on our behalf. When God sees our praise and worship for his past blessing, his present blessing will not be far behind. We also are to speak of God's gracious work to the heathen so that they also may praise and magnify the Lord. Someday they will have to worship and praise God. Isaiah 45 and 23 let us know, and Romans 14 and 11. But if we will speak to them now of his excellent greatness, they will have the opportunity to choose to worship and praise God today. And sometimes we need to, you know, a lot of times people don't want to hear a lot of things, you know, because there's a lot of things that is out there. But when we begin to share our testimonies of what God has done for us and what God, how God has brought us out, how God has opened a door, and just say to a stranger, can I just share with you a testimony, or what God have done for me was just so miraculous. And when you begin to just share your story, share your testimony, that testimony may bring and draw people. Remember the woman at the well. After Jesus told her everything, she left her water pot and she went back into the city and told everybody. And they came to see a man. And so through your testimony, you can draw somebody into the house of God by you sharing your testimony about the goodness of the Lord and the miraculous blessing that God has wrought in your life. Now, let's look here and see, here it is, of the other command, come and see the works of God. Psalm 66, verses 5 through 12 said, come and see the works of God. He is awesome in his doing towards the Son of Man. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the rivers on foot. There we were, we'll rejoice in him. He ruled by his power forever. His eye observed the nation. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves, Selah. Oh, bless our God, you people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, who keep our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved. For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net, and you laid affliction on our back. You have caused men to ride over our head. We went through the fire and through the water, but you brought us out to the rich fulfillment. And we can recognize sometimes we do go through, and sometimes it seems like men has rolled over our backs and we've gone through the fire and gone through the water. But God brought us out to the rich fulfillment and blessed us greatly and bountifully. Christians should never forget that what God has done in the past, he also is able and willing to do today. In the King James Version of the scripture, Psalm 66 and 3 said that God is terrible in his work. The word terrible, translated from the Hebrews, yare, which means to fear, to reverence, to be afraid, to stand in awe of, to be awe, or to fear, or to show a reverence and to honor and to respect, to cause astonishment and awe, to be held in awe and to inspire in reverence or godly fear or awe. In other words, when we consider the work of God, we recognize that he is truly awesome. When we think in that word terrible, he means awesome. When I consider thy heaven and the works of thy fingers, the moon and the star which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Psalms 8, verses 3 through 4. God did not have to be mindful of mankind, yet he chose to love us, redeem us, prepare an eternal dwelling place in which he will live with us forever. Let's look here at another point. Great deliverance in the past. God is not just the God of the past, but our past deliverance prove God is able and willing to deliver us today. He is no respecter of person. The psalmist listed 11 acts that God had displayed in the history of his people. Those actions of God's were all intended to bless the people and place them in a posture and a position of blessing and fruitfulness. Perhaps not all of them would be humanly perceived as blessing, but they all were intended for the ultimate good and blessing of the people of God. Some of God's actions caused the people to repent and return to him, who would then be able to bless them in their return. Now, let's look at these 11 acts of God that displayed in history. Number one, Psalm 66 and 6 let us know that God dried up the sea. This provided their deliverance from Egypt. Number two, God rules by his power forever, Psalm 66 and 7. This speaks of his daily administration of the lives of his people. Number three, God sees the nation. His eyes keep watch over them. Number four, God holds all our souls in life, Psalm 66 and 9. He give us life. Number five, God does not permit our feet to be moved. He set us in a sure place always from stumbling. Number five, God has proven and tried us like the refining of silvers and other precious metal, Psalm 66 and 10. Number seven, God brought us into the net, Psalm 66 and 11. In other words, he captured us when we were headed towards self-destruction. God led us to repentance because his love, and he loved us and truly wanted to save us from our sin. Number eight, God laid affliction upon us. And you'll see that over in Psalm 66 and 11. Again, he does this for our benefit to lead us to repentance. Number nine, God causes us to ride over our heads, Psalm 66 and 12. Number 10, God brought us through the fire and water. And we'll find that also in Psalm 66, verse number 12. Number 11, God brought us out into a wealthy place, Psalm 66 and 12. This is a broad place, a place of abundance, a blessing and prosperity, Psalms 23 and 5. We have much for which to praise and worship our Lord for because of his goodness and what he has done in and through our lives. Now, let's take a look here. The whole world is in his hand. He rules by his might forever. His eyes observe and keep watch over the nation. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves, Selah. Psalm 66 and 7. Now let's look at Acts chapter 4, 17 and verse 28. Now read it in your hearing. It said, "For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poet have said, for we are also his offsprings, And so we are the offspring of God. Without our awesome God, we would not be able to draw out our first breath. Without our awesome Savior, we would forever be lost. He both created all things and uphold all things by the word of his power, Hebrews 1:3. Paul stated in Acts 17 that in him we live and that our very life comes from him. Only through his grace are we able to live, move, act, and perform all things. Our very being or existence comes from him. Some have wrongfully believed that God is not involved with the world, but the scripture revealed that the whole world is in his control. See Jeremiah 27:5-7, Daniel 2:21, Daniel 4:7, Daniel 25:25-32. He has not abandoned his creation. He is very much in control of the ultimate conclusion of all things. He is in control of the conclusion of ultimate all things. Now let's look. We must be steadfast through our trials. Now this is sometimes the place where the adversary overthrows the children of God. We must be steadfast through each and every one of our trials. If we go through the trials, neither of our own making or God's testing, he will be present to see us through. Trials often come when we are willingly walk away from God's will and plan for our life. It is then that he gently leads us back to the fold as a shepherd leads his wayward sheep. At other times, trials come to test and sharpen our faith. Through tests, we are developed testimonies. Through trials, we learn to triumph in God. We remain immature and weak when we are not tested. The Apostle Peter said that the trial of our faith will prove it and make us strong in the Lord. Now, let's look at 1 Peter 1:7. That the trial of your faith brings much more precious than of gold that persisteth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearance of Jesus Christ. This Psalms lay a foundation whereby we can realize that our God is to be praised. He is worthy of our worship, for he is Lord. He is Lord. Now, let's take a look. I will worship God. First and foremost, worship must be an action of a person's will. We either choose to worship the Lord or we do not. No one in this life can make us worship, nor can they keep us from worship. All mankind will bow his knee before Jesus in eternity, but let us choose to worship him in here and now as an act of praise and thanks. The psalmist mentioned a series of statements beginning with the word, I will. These words, conscious action on his part that proceeded from his heart, mind, and will. Now let's take a look. He said, I will go to the house of God. I will go into thy house with burnt offering, I will pay my vow, Psalms 66:13. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, Psalms 122:1. The worshiper should enter the house of the Lord with worship and praise for his Savior. We have an obligation and a command to enter into the house of the Lord. Public worship in God's house is not an option to the faithfully obedient New Testament believer. Neither is it just a matter of scheduling and convenience. It is a matter of obeying the command of the New Testament. See Hebrews 10, verses number 24 to verse number 26. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Now, to willingly forsake worshiping in God's house is to willingly disobey the Lord. But worship should naturally spring forth a heart that is in thankful to God. We serve him and come together corporately and praise the Lord because he is worthy. Moreover, Jesus has promised to be present with the people of God, come together for corporate worship. And you'll find that over in Matthew 18 and 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Matthew 18 and 20. Jesus is always near his children, but he has promised a special visitation of his presence when more than one is gathered in his name. What a blessing we find when we worship together. And I do recognize, children of God, that there is time where you can't get there and things, but as your heart desire to be at the house of God, ask God to make a way so that you could get to the house of God. And God will open up that door and keep believing God to do it. I know sometimes we find ourselves in a season where we can't, but even in that season, keep telling God, and God will open up a door and make a way for you, child of God, to get to the house of the Lord. And I'm praying that on your behalf that God will. Now, let's look at another will. He said, I will pay my vow. I will come into your house with burnt offering of entire consecration. I will pay you my vow, which my lips utter and my mouth promised when I was in distress. Psalm 66, verse 13 and 14, and this came out of the Amplified Bible. Psalms 147 and 1 state, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praises is comely. And so after we sing praises unto God, it's pleasant. It brings a pleasant spirit upon you. And it is commonly, it's something that God wants from us. We owe a debt of love to our gracious Lord who paid our sin's penalty for us. Many people are motivated to serve God in times of crisis. But when the crisis is over, some forget God and vow that they made while they were in the trouble. However, God does not forget. What we promise, we also need to perform. Promises notwithstanding, we still owe a debt of God of love to Jesus Christ and his life-saving gospel. And you'll see that over in Romans chapter number 1, verse 14 through 15, verse 13 through verse number and verse 8. One songwriter wrote, but drop of grief can never repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. Vows can be conditionally or unconditional. Our vows to the Lord need to be in response to his unconditional love shown on Calvary's cross. May we never go back on our vow to Jesus. Now, let's look at another I will. I will sacrifice. The burnt offering of the Old Testament sacrificial system were an offering of dedication and consecration. However, we do not continue to sacrifice animals unto God today. God is not interested in continuing to receive sacrifices of blood of animals. Rather, sacrifices today involve the giving of praise unto God, Hebrews 13 and 5. An individual giving their lives to the purpose of God. Now, let's see. Now, this is what God is interested in. If you'll see that over in Romans 12, 1 and 2, where it says, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And then it goes on to say, to be not to conform to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable, that is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. That's the sacrifice now. It's not so much the bull and the bullocks, the goats and the bullocks, but it's our lives become the sacrifice. I will sacrifice. I will sacrifice. I will offer to you burnt offerings of the fat lamb with rams and consumed in the sweet-smelling smoke. I will offer bullocks and he-goats, Selah. And again, this is Psalm 66:15 out of the Amplified Bible. Now let's look here at Hebrews 13, verses 5 through 16, and I'll read it in your hearing. It reads on this line. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifice, God is well pleased. He's pleased with the praises of our lips. He's pleased with us thanking and praising his name. He's pleased when we have good conversation and speaking good things and righteousness out of our mouth. That's the sacrifice, because, you know, when people do wrong to us, it's hard to turn back and speak kindly and good to them. It becomes a sacrifice for us to speak kindly in things and to forgive them and to let that go. Sacrificial offering today consists both of verbal praises offered to God and also of service rendered to fellow Christians. Worship should go beyond mere words and enter into the realm of a genuine service to the Lord. Moreover, because we love Jesus Christ, we also desire to fulfill his plan for all mankind. Serving both the people of God and seeking to bring salvation to those who are lost in their sin, he gave his all for our salvation. We, in return, are ready to give our best to him and to do his perfect will. He is worthy to receive all our full commitment in praise and service. David showed us the ultimate attitude concerning sacrifice in 2 Samuel, chapter 24 and verse 24. And I'll read that in your hearing. It said, and the king said unto Asa, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offering unto the Lord my God of that which does cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen of 50 shekels of silver. Jesus demonstrated the ultimate sacrifice in action by giving his own sinless life on Calvary's cross. What a terrific price the Son of Man paid to redeem the fallen mankind. What love the Heavenly Father have bestowed on us. We have manifold reason to reciprocate his divine loving action with praise, thanksgiving, and worship. And that doesn't cost us anything but our voice, our time, and our talent. One thing I asked of you, never be afraid of giving, but do not give away your surplus. Give to the point that it is difficult for you. That was Mother Teresa had said that. Too many people are quick to give what they no longer want or need. They donate items that are worn out or broken, but Jesus gave his best in order to purchase the redemption of mankind. A true spirit of giving like Jesus gave will cause a person to give his best to the Lord and to work to the work of his kingdom. Proverbs 3, verses number 9 through 10 say, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of thy all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. We must learn to honor God with the first fruit, with our substance, and the first fruit of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Of course, we do not give in order to receive in return. We give because Christ first loved us and gave himself for us. And we give because Christ is worthy of our gifts. Now, let's look at another point. Come and hear. Declaring God's goodness. And let's look at the Amplified Bible over at Psalm 66 and 16, what it said. It said, come and hear, all ye who reverently and worshipfully fear God, and I will declare what he has done for me. Now, let's look at Revelations 12 and 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. And so here it is, when I was talking about early, sharing our testimony, sharing what God has done. He said, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Have you been sharing your testimony? And I think that that's something that we don't do, even in the marketplace and even in our going and daily going and coming. Stop and share your testimony. There is a threefold blessing in proclaiming the greatness of God. And let's look at these threefold blessings. The one who has shared their testimony is blessed and strengthened in their walk with the Lord. The experience of one sharing their testimony is an end of itself edifying. But there is nothing more edifying than a person having someone who has witnessed to experience the saving power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number two, proclaiming the greatness of God blesses the Lord. Number three, sinners will come to know the one true God and have the opportunity to experience his salvation. Nothing good results from a person refraining from declaring the gospel of Christ and his greatness. Every Christian should proclaim the wonders of the Savior and the blessing of his saving truth. It has been said that we wandered away from God when we lose the wonder of God. We should remain and maintain our wonder of Jesus and his love and keep our deep experience in him afresh. We should abide forever in his love and live a life of continual worship and praise. Come on and just shout hallelujah. Glory be unto God. Hallelujah. Now let's look at the last point, because I want to get through all of this because this is so good. God hears my prayer. The Amplified Bible, again, we're going to read from it. Psalm 66, verse 17 through 20. It said, I cried aloud to him. He was extolled, and high praises was under my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But certainly God has heard me. He has given heed to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not rejected my prayers, nor removed his mercy and loving kindness from my being. It is always with me. Now let's look at 1 John chapter number 5, verse 14 and 15, and I'll read that for the sake of time. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. You must know that God hears you, and you must allow God to abide in you. His word must abide in us. Now here, let's look at verse 17 and 20, the psalmist spoke of his personal experience of worship. The Lord is not just the Lord of the past. He is God of the present. He does not just bless the nation. He blesses the individual who cries out to him. The psalmist revealed the nature and substance of true prayer in his closing verse of the Psalm of Praise. True prayer includes extolling God for his goodness and greatness. True prayer includes a repentant heart towards evil and sin. Moreover, true prayer includes high praise, praise that is offered to God willingly without need or expectation of return blessing. We worship Jesus Christ because he is worthy. When we approach our Heavenly Father in this attitude, he will hear and abundantly bless us. He will not reject us, but he will show us his love. He will show us his mercy. He will show us his kindness. This is definitely something for which we can praise the Lord. Come on and just shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, let's look here in closing over in Psalms 150, verses 1 through 6. It says, praise ye the Lord. Praise the God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery harp. Praise him with the tremble and dance. Praise him with the string instrument and organ. Praise him upon the loud cymbal. Praise him with the high sounding cymbal. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, the Almighty privileged us that we have a praising and worshiping the Lord our God, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a mighty privilege. All the earth owe praise to the Redeemer of mankind. The nation are to praise him. The people are to praise him. We are to praise him. We cannot control whether or not the nation and other people praise God, but we can choose ourselves to praise the Lord. May we enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. May we be thankful and give Jesus Christ the praises of our heart. As we enter the house of the Lord, pay our vows to him and offer our sacrifice of praise, we will declare his goodness among all people. We not only worship Jesus for what he has done for us, but we also worship him because he alone is worthy of all praise and all worship. Come on and just shout hallelujah. Lord, we worship you, Lord, and we praise your holy name, and we give you the glory and the honor that's due unto your name, Lord. We praise your name, O God, and give you the honor that's due unto your name. Truly, you alone is worthy of the praise. And Lord, we make it our own mind and hearts and desire to praise and worship you. It is our desire to praise you. It is our will to worship you. It is our heart to praise and worship you, O Lord, our God. And so, child of God, we must will, it must be our will to worship you, God. It must be our desire to worship God and to praise him as never before. We must recognize that as we make that sacrifice and say, Lord, I will worship God. I will go to the house of God. I will pay my vow. I will sacrifice, and I will come, and I will hear from the Lord. I will bring my praise to the house of God. My life will be a praise. I will glorify God in my spirit and in my body. My whole being, will glorify and magnify the Lord our God. Come on and shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be unto the God. And so how great is our God? The psalmist said, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye land. Sing forth the honor of his name. And here it is. We as children of God, we need to make God's praises glorious. I don't know about you, but I had an opportunity that I was just so blessed. And I just seen the Olympics, the opening and the closing of what China did, such a beautiful, beautiful, breathtaking job. That it was just magnificent what they had did. And when I was looking at that, and it beheld me, and I was beheld by the glory and things and all the costumes and all of the different things that they did. But I looked deeper at the energy, the time in which they gave so that they could be all unified and on one accord. And that was just, that really stuck my spirit into my spirit. That, you know, we as children of God, we need to make God's praises glorious in his house, glorious in our life. We need to make it glorious unto the Lord our God. And I believe that we can do it for the Lord our God. When I was beholding that, China went all out to make the Olympics a life, an experience, a once-in-a-lifetime experience. It was something that you had to just behold the beauty and the majesty. And so that's what God is deserving of, that type of a glorious praise. And so he put it in our hands. And I pray that musicians are listening. He put it into our hands, the musicians and things, the Judas, to make his praise just that glorious. And we as children of God, we must think in turn, whatever God does in our life, you make it glorious. You take it to the next level of being glorious. If God calls you to be the church intercessor, you be the most glorious intercessor that's here on the face of the earth. If God called you to be the secretary in the house of God to help to orchestrate the business affair of God, then you be the best secretary and glorify that position to bring glory unto the Lord our God. Take it to the next level of excellence and excellency. So you become the worshiper and worship God through your job as that secretary. God, I'm going to be the best secretary. I'm going to bring glory and honor to you. Before I start my work on my daily job, I'm going to sing a praise. I'm going to give you glory and I'll give you honor. Even on my way there, I bring a sacrifice of praise that it may be glorious, that it may bring glory and honor unto you. If you're the usher, be the best usher. Let that position become a glorious place, that you do it with precision and honor unto the Lord our God. If you are, one that is teaching Sunday school and things, whatever level it is, be the best teacher. Just don't be a teacher, but be the best teacher, that your teaching will bring glory and honor. If you're going to be the prophet, if God calling you to be the prophet or the prophetess, be the best prophet and things. Be the best, the one that sit at the foot of Jesus, to hear the heart of God, that cry out for the people of God. A couple with prayer. If you are there to be overseeing a prayer meeting, be faithful. Don't let the pastor have to come find the one who's supposed to be in charge. Be on post. If nobody else be on post, you be on post and do what God called you to be. That's how we can worship and praise God, right where what God has given to us in our hand. And God will bless you. God will keep you. God will undergird you, and God will fortify and strengthen you. That's how we can sacrifice and will and praise God and bring the glory and honor unto God, because he's worthy of it all. All the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. Come on and shout hallelujah. Father, we thank you, dear God. We thank you for this lesson. We thank you, oh God, for penetrating our spirits and mind, teaching us how to worship you in song and praise, and how that our vocation and how that the assignments that you've given unto us on today, how we can worship you in that by being the best, doing our best, giving our best, walking the best way where we can, walking holy and righteous, and God will do it. God, it's not what other people say. You know, it's about your relation and how you can bring honor unto God. We need to seek the honor of God, not the honor of man, but the honor of God. And when you have a man or a woman who loves God, that when you honoring God and living obedient, living righteously, and being in that place where God's called you to be and moving things forward, guess what? God, that's how you honor God, because that man or woman of God honors God themselves and striving to bring the best to God, and that God could be glorified and God could be lifted up. And so when we bring our gifts and talents, and when we do the work and the will of the Lord without murmuring and complaining. See, in the house of God, it's too much murmuring and it's too much complaining that is going on in the house of God. Even the mature saints are murmuring and complaining. When the babes and the sinners are coming in, those that are converting, new converts, giving their life unto the Lord, you must be patient with God's people and things, and walk with God's people, because there go I. But by the grace of God, somebody tolerated me. Someone put up with me. Someone walked with me until I got strong enough to walk on my own. Someone prayed me all the way through. Not halfway through, but all the way through. And so we as children of God, we must recognize that. That God is calling for us to walk with people, to encourage people and things, to help them to get to that next place in God. Because God loves us, and he's calling, and he's worthy of our praise. Oh, yes, that threshing floor. You got to sometimes, that praise may cost something. And things. It may have cost you being backed up against the wall, but you've seen the mighty hand of God bringing you totally out with his mighty outstretched hand. And so, child of God, I pray that you are encouraged today and that you go on and move forward and doing the work in the will of the Lord, and God will do it. God will. Let the word abide in you. Let the praises of God abide with you. Not fear, not what's going to happen, or what's going to happen, am I going to make it or not? No, don't let that abide in you. You need to empty that all out of your heart and say, no, the Lord is my shepherd. I declare, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. When the enemy come in, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. When that phone call come in, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Put the word on the situation and watch God bring it to pass on behalf of his people. Come on and just shout hallelujah. Glory to the Lord. Shady and the Lord. Rika baba shady and the Lord. Shikari and the Lord. Shikari and the Lord. Rika ba shikata rika ba shendere kobra. Hare hare ata bo shaya. We worship you. Lokora raria shendere ya kataria. Haria shike to the Lord. Shikata raria shendere la karia tekea. Harara bo shike to the Lord. Shikata rabanderia shiria the Lord. That's it. Just worship God. Lord, we worship you on this day and give you the praise and give you the glory and honor that's due unto your name, O God. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. We praise your blessed name, O Most High. Come on, he's worthy to be praised. Lord, you are Lord over our life. You are Lord over our finance. You are Lord over our future. You are Lord over our life, health, and strength. You are Lord over our children and our children's children. You are Lord over our family members that don't even know you yet. But Lord, we pray for their salvation. We pray, oh God, that they will turn their hearts, mind, and soul into you, oh God. God, you shall and you will do it, oh God, in and through the life of your people. I can just feel the power of God. I can just feel the power of God just exuding and flowing through this airway. Child of God, God loves you. You may be just joining with us, but we just feel the presence of God and enjoying the sweet, sweet communion of the Holy Spirit that's exuding over and through us. And I come to tell you that God loves you with the everlasting love, and he's not going to leave you, nor will he forsake you. He that will come shall come, and he will not tarry. Come on and shout hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Have your way, oh God. Have your way in our families, Lord. Have your way, oh God, in our lives, in our children's children's life, Lord. And we'll praise your blessed name for thy glory, oh God, for thy name's sake and thy honor. We lift thee up, oh God, and we sing praises unto your name most high. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord our God, and you're worthy of the praise. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name, O God, and we praise your Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord our God. Blessed be the name of the Lord our God. Truly, it has been a blessing being with you on today, and those that have just joined us, I encourage you to go back and when you get an opportunity to listen to the lesson on today, how great is our God. He's worthy of all the praise, and God is looking for praise from you and from all of us as we lift up. He said, let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord, and we are called to praise God in spite of what we go through, in spite of what we're doing. I challenge you today to put a praise down on your heart on today. And if you don't even have a church that you attend, I encourage you to join us every Sunday or every time that we make our podcast or our talk show. Please join us, and you can join us right there, the mobile church, if you want to do that with us each time we come together and things. And I pray that you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and things, and one day be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sin and be filled up with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. And God promised that he will bless us. And that is the plan of salvation for our lives. And Jesus is just waiting for you just to say yes to him, and he will do it. He will not violate your will nor your desire. But he said, he that have a mind to, he that will come, let him come, and things. And God will do it in and through the life of his people. So I pray that you've been encouraged. I pray that you go forth in the work and the will of the Lord and forever to do and seek the will of the Lord. And like I always say, if you don't have it, God got it, and you are just a prayer away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. Yes, you, child of God. God, there are some doors that God want to open unto you. All you need to do is ask, seek, and knock, and God will do it unto you. Yes, according to Matthew 7:7 and verse number 8. May God forever bless you and keep you is my prayer. Don't you dare give up, and don't you dare give in. And if you've given up and thrown in the towel, go back and get your towel and start all over again and watch God do it on your behalf. Great is our God. Truly, he's worthy of our praise. Share your testimony of the goodness of the Lord. Because the Bible said the goodness of the Lord leadeth unto repentance and things. And if you share the goodness of God and how God's been good to you, to someone that don't know God, God will do a great and a mighty work in and through your life. May God ever bless you is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Until we meet again, God bless you.